Welcome to The Grand Life, a podcast about grandparenting, exploring ways to be better at it, and connecting to those who are in it with us. I'm Emily Morgan. In the last episode, I talked with memoirist Felicia Chang about the importance of memories and how everyone has a story to tell. In this episode, I'm talking with two people who have made it their mission to make storytelling accessible to everyone, and even made it fun along the way. Jerry Witkowski is a 93-year-old grandparent activist and author of the book, The Grandest Love. Along with many other projects, he and his creative partner, Deanna Schoss, have begun work on a project that is called Grandparents, Write Your Stories. They are both here today to talk with me about that. Hi, Jerry and Deanna. It's good to have you on.
Emily, it's good to be with you.
Yeah, thank you. Hello.
Hi. I have finished the book, The Grandest Love, Jerry, that's your book, and really enjoyed it. It gave me a good sense of what you're all about and what makes you tick. You are a powerful voice for grandparents everywhere, I have to say. And Deanna, you might want to just kind of help me as you partner with Jerry in this interview so that we can kind of get some input from you as well, since you work as a creative partner with Jerry. First of all, you know, we could talk about a million things because your book covers a ton. But today we're going to concentrate, since we're talking about the power of storytelling, we're going to concentrate on your kind of new project. And maybe you could tell us a little bit about that, Deanna, first, about Write Your Story and how it works.
Well, let me tell you first how it happened.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
My 36-year-old granddaughter, Jessica, said to me one day, "Grandpa, we know nothing about your childhood. We don't know what games you played. We don't know what you did when you were in preschool or when first grade." And I said, "Wow, I have never dealt with that, and I never did." So I called my partner, my creative partner, and I said, "Deanna, this is what Jessica said to me." And that began the idea that we want to leave a living legacy of our life with our grandchildren and our adult children. And that's how it started.
And now that it started, we've had over 400 grandparents participate to sign up to write their stories.
Deanna explains that the Write Your Stories project is a partnership with Chicago's Jewish Community Center, the JCC. But it is open to people of all faiths and backgrounds and completely free of charge to participants. Right now, it includes people from 22 states and 2 countries.
We're now going into our fourth round where grandparents can sign up to receive 2 writing prompts a week for a 6-week program. So it's 12 prompts each time. And we invite grandparents to set their timer and to write nonstop for 10 minutes. And the stories cover everything from memories of something that was in your own grandparents' kitchen to a time that you were the most scared to your first car. So it's from physical things to emotional things. And the idea is for grandparents to just completely become unselfconscious and to write for this timed period.
Yeah, that's great.
Why don't you tell her what our prompt, though, is? Because I think that's key to the success.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it varies. So Jerry and I, every session, will come up with 12 new prompts. And the first round, everything was very physical based. So it was things like on my mother's dresser or my first car. Another one, for example, the first time someone said, "I love you." Mm. And so rather than being a question where you have to think and answer, it's literally a sentence that you just start and go with.
And then there's a picture. When I mm-hmm. talked about my game, my favorite games, I was a marble champ on my block. And Deanna found a picture of kids playing marbles. And there was little kids my age at the time shooting marbles. So she puts a picture with the prompt, which triggers people right away beautifully. And we tell people, you're not going to submit this to your English teacher for a grade. So you don't worry about spelling. You don't worry about sentence structure. Just write your heart out. Yeah. And that's what they do.
That's great, because that is kind of what keeps us, I think, from writing sometimes. We feel like, well, it's not going to be perfect, and it isn't going to be publishable or anything like that. And really, our children and our children's children really want to just know the story, right?
Absolutely. And sometimes people think that their story isn't, it's not like a story with a capital S, like it has to be something momentous to be worth writing about. Whereas your family, your grandchildren, your adult children, they're just fascinated to get a visual image of what your life was like as a child.
We enter their world all the time. Now, by writing this material, we're allowing them to enter our world. And that's what is so exciting.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I think sometimes we think, you know, the children have all this stuff to offer to us, but we don't have anything to offer to them. But these stories are gems. I mean, they are wonderful things that we can give to our grandchildren. So
our adult children as well, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
My son said, "Dad, you never told me about that." I said, okay.
You know, it's interesting. I just was watching Finding Your Roots. You're probably familiar with that, with Louis Gates Jr. on PBS. He has a program where he talks to people and finds out all about their genealogy and stories. And I was listening to that today, and I heard somebody say, you know, my grandparents, I didn't know that about my grandparents. They never told me. It was some very painful stuff. But, you know, I wonder if you might, Jerry, speak to the power of stories, with the power they have to heal, not just things like what was on your dresser, but things that actually could help heal a family.
My son is a psychiatrist, a child adolescent psychiatrist. And he said, "Dad, you never ask your grandchild, how was school today? You always ask, tell me a story about school." And always ask that question when you're out shopping or you're washing the car or you're doing something, or you're sitting across having a sandwich across the table, and never ask, how was school? Because you always get, "Ugh, I didn't learn anything today. the teacher's crummy." But you, when stories begin to flow, it flows about the bully kid. It flows about cyberbullying. It flows about all kinds of life experiences that the kids are experiencing. Mm-hmm. So that's how we got to the storytelling. And we urge every time we meet with grandparents, stop asking your grandchildren, "What'd you learn today?" or "Who is your favorite teacher?"
Yeah, that's insightful, I think, and true, that we have to be careful of that. Deanna, have you seen some of these stories? I'm wondering, you've gotten a really good response, it sounds like, already.
We have.
So have you seen any
really
of these?
Have.
Yeah, have you seen any of these stories that are healing?
The idea that, and this is the idea of stories, that a story can bring people closer together. Mm. So the questions, the prompts sometimes that we'll ask are things that are milestones that you might have experienced in the 1930s or 40s, or you might be experiencing it now. So the example I would give is my son actually had a first date when he was in middle school, and it was awful. Mm-hmm. And he tried to talk to me about it as his parent. And of course, I wanted to be like, I'll call her mom. Let's fix this, you know, as the parent. And instead, he talked to my dad, his grandpa, who told him a story about his first date as a blind date, and the girl's last name was Frankenstein, and how terrified he was getting ready for his date. You know, that story was so fun for the two of them that they could share that, because it was the same experience and it brought them together all those decades apart. So that's an example, yeah, of common experiences. Along the lines of sharing, what we do, we try to make this as accessible as possible to grandparents. So like Jerry said, you'll have the prompt. Jerry will share a story of his own experience of that prompt, and we'll have a photo. And then three or four prompts into it, we do a group Zoom call so that anybody who's participating in the program can talk directly with Jerry and I. They can talk to us and get insights, and they can share with each other.
Oh, that's great. So you're also developing a community.
Absolutely. And you can submit your stories, if people want to JCC Chicago, and they'll print the stories on their website for the different prompts. So now you'll have four or five stories of different grandparents looking at the same topic to be able to share with each other. And that's been wonderful.
You know, one of your contributors for your book, Jerry, The Grandest Love, wrote about his grandfather's storytelling. I'm going to quote him here. Each time I retell his stories, every time his words spill from my lips, they play out slightly differently. Some details are lost, a few are embellished, and some are just wrong. In part, I'm pained by this, but I'll bet Zeta, is that correct? Am I saying it correct? Zeta, his grandfather, never told the exact same story twice either. I think that's just how people keep stories alive. So, Jerry, how important is it? I think that's such an interesting quote. How important is it that stories are accurate? Like, you've got to tell it exactly like it was.
The story is important, but it's who you're talking to that's important. It's how you share this with your family and your grandchildren, that you're staying connected to the people. So the story may get embellished. It may leave out a lot of facts or a few facts. People don't want to just take the story and ruin it, but they may think, oh, your grandpa, he was that kind of guy. He would go through the woods with his blah, blah, blah. And then your voice would change and you would embellish it. But staying connected is the key, Emily. That's the key.
A story that happened to you when you were a 17-year-old kid, like Jerry in high school, you know, how you perceive that story then, and then when you retell it now, sometimes it's just the wisdom and the perspective that you have at the age you're telling the story will influence how you feel about it. Mm. And so the story may change every time you tell it because you're a different person each time you tell it.
Good point.
Yeah. And that's the wonderful power of stories, because the process of writing them can be really healing for people.
Yeah.
But you also remember things every time you tell a story that you never thought of before.
Yeah, that's true.
I was walking down the hall. I played on the high school tennis team, and the football players would say, oh, that sissy game. And then when I was telling that story to my grandchildren, I remember how sad I felt that they called me a sissy because I played tennis. Those big, bulky guys.
That's
well,
funny.
Jerry and I both lost at least a day or two, because then that got Jerry to open his high school yearbook, which then sent him on a whole trajectory, which then got me to open my high school yearbook. And I think we lost like a whole week of work just because of of going back and all those memories.
Yeah, going down memory lane. It's a good place to be. You know, I have one question that I think is really kind of important.
Your questions are important, Emily.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jerry. Are there any stories that you think shouldn't be told? That's a hard question, I think. Is it important to keep some stories private, Jerry?
That's your decision. If you think the story is going to harm you in the eyes of your grandchildren, you may say, I'm not going to tell that story. And it's okay. You are sorting out your life. And again, you're staying connected.
The only stories that shouldn't be told are ones that are not your own. So do remember, if that story is about your sister or your adult child or someone else, it's not your story to tell, because then they don't have the ability to make that decision. So if it's your story, you do want to think about why you're telling it, in terms of if there's a lesson or something that you want to share, but do make sure that the stories you tell are your stories.
I love the fact that you're reinforcing that connection is the key. You know, I enjoyed your book, and especially the idea of speaking across generations with something you call TLC. Maybe you could just elaborate on that and explain how that might fit into our storytelling. And I think you've already kind of gone into that a little bit.
Well, I think I've touched on that. The tender loving care I sit down with my kids and I say, my adult children, what can't I talk about? What can't I question you about? And when we have a family meeting, we have that at Thanksgiving and Passover, and people submit agendas and what they want to talk about. And I say, if we don't want to hurt each other, and if I ask you a question you don't want to answer, that's okay. You said, not now, Grandpa.
Yeah.
So, but you set the stage there. You can keep things to yourself, or you can share that within the family. Yeah. And then we have a bowl that you put all the things you want to know about each other, and you pull out of the bowl Jerry's story about shooting marbles or whatever it is that you want to talk about.
Jerry is referring to the story bowl. Deanna explains that all of us can use a story bowl so that we don't get sidetracked.
What's really exciting is when people start writing their stories, what often happens is they start telling a story within a story. That's actually true for grandma who might be telling the same story. They get sidetracked and all of a sudden they're on a different story. So when people are writing, we suggest if they start telling a story and another story comes to mind, write it on a piece of paper and put it in a bowl, continue what they're writing about, and then they've got these ideas for future stories that they can pull out anytime they're stuck for writing.
So, Deanna, how do we sign up for this program?
So you can easily just go to Jerry's website, which is grandparentsunleashed.com. And that name comes from the idea that grandparents, when they unleash their commitment, their creativity, and the things about which they're passionate, they have the ability to transform their families. So just right on the homepage of grandparentsunleashed.com will be the button to sign up. And it runs for 6 weeks, but you can sign up at any point during that process. And once you sign up for one session, you're in. You'll automatically be enrolled for future iterations of it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And there's more details in there if you have any questions. If we haven't answered all your questions, those will be in our show notes. Thank you so much for your time, both of you. I know it's a busy season and you're busy getting your writing prompts together, but we really appreciate this. And I think it's a great idea. And I think a lot of people would love to participate in it. Thanks for your time. I don't have a story bowl, as Jerry and Deanna suggested. I may need to get one. But what I do have down in my basement are letters. Lots of letters from my mother-in-law to my father-in-law. I also still have the aerograms that I sent to my fiancé, now my husband, during our engagement, when I was in England and he was in the States. Mine were blue and very thin and folded to form their own envelope. They're sitting in a box wrapped with a ribbon. Those letters are filled with memories, and I recognize now how precious they are, since we rarely have those sorts of things these days. What will it be like in our future when our past is written all in emails? And how different is it when the words are not handwritten? I'd love it if you would share your thoughts about that by contacting me at grandlifeconnection@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 317-572-7876. In our next episode, we finish our theme of the power of story. I'll speak with a senior vice president at Scholastic. She talks about the power of the stories we read to our children.
Why do you like to read aloud? Like, why do you like to have Nanny or Daddy read aloud to you? And she says, Nanny, it makes my brain work and it's fun.
And in The Stretch It Takes, we revisit how my own reading habits were formed, not by my grandmother, but by my mother. Because sometimes our grandmothers aren't the ones who pass on a legacy of reading. As you may have already heard, the Grand Life Podcast is now partnering with Grand Magazine. Subscribe for free at grandmagazine.com. I've said it before, I do not pretend to be the best grandparent ever, but I will confess to believing that being one is the best thing ever. I'm Emily Morgan, and thanks for joining me in living the grand life.
This podcast was written and hosted by Emily Morgan, my grandmother. It was produced and edited by Mike Morgan, my grandfather. Email them at grandlifeconnection@gmail.com.